The Legend of the Hood Family is told by Mrs. Robin Hood. Composed and taped by Olive Whiten. I never had quite understood the mysteries of Robin Hood. I'd heard them say his heart was pure, took from the rich, gave to the poor. But I was then a bonny lass. My folks were poor, and I was crass. Before I'd got beyond my teens, I must contribute to our means. Then one day I walked through a wood and saw him with Red Riding Hood. Although her name implies she rode, not so, but through the wood she strode, while he, it seemed, without remorse, was seated on his handsome horse. And I thought, ungentlemanly, he was a knight, just plain to see, and therefore he should he not indeed invite this lass to share his steed? How could a knight be so uncouth to let this wee child walk, forsooth? Perhaps we all had been misled in tales of him that we'd been fed, and he was not a good knight, kind knight, but just a boor who loved to fight. Oh, he was strong, I had no doubt, and easily won every bout. But for me then he lost his charm, for she, with basket on her arm, walked down beside him through the wood, as on his horse rode Robin Hood. Had not this Robin Hood a mother to teach him one thing or another? Red Riding Hood was still a child. The path she trod was rough and wild. No telling what ill things may lurk, or in her mind what childish quirk may suddenly lead her astray, for that was such a lovely day. And to her all in life seemed good, as she had set off through the wood. She did not know the evils of this world. She thought it held but love, and did not guess or even think that she herself was on the brink of danger. Of that had no ken, as she strode through the wooded glen, and evidently unaware that she should take precautions there. Perhaps her mother thought it kinder, as to life's evils not remind her, but felt there was a certain charm that what you don't know can't bring harm. But she had told Red Riding Hood not to lag, go through the wood and hasten to her grandma's quickly, for grandmama was very sickly, and take the basket with the treat of good things for grandma to eat. That was the good old-fashioned way of rearing children in that day, to not weigh little minds with care, for all too soon they have to bear the perils of an adult life, and that was soon enough for strife. I had no business to be there. I only walked to get the air, for working was a tiresome chore. It was nice to be out of door. And though by then I was not seen, because of trees so thickly green, I felt a curiosity and wanted more of them to see. I did not really mean to spy, but followed them, I can't say why. I'd never seen those two before, and I was eager to see more. Then Robin Hood went on his way. Red Riding Hood soon stopped to play, beginning she'd been sent upon an urgent errand, her heart wan by all the pretty wild flowers, the babbling brook, the shady bowers, the smell of cedar and of pine, the partridge berries on the vine. A patch of wintergreen soon drew the child to kneel and pick a few upon the stems. A nice big bunch would help to make grandmother's lunch taste better. For the bedside stand, a bouquet of wild flowers, grand. These she hastily then plucked, and inside the basket tucked. Then she went upon her way, happy, nonchalant, and gay. As she tripped along, she sang, noting how the echoes rang in the stillness of the wood, like a trio sounding good. Oh, the innocence of youth, much too young to have the proof that there could be evils here. She had not yet met with fear, and in her short childhood scope only knew of goodness, hope, and the things that brings one cheer, never things to bring a tear. To her bright and laughing eyes, poor child, in for a surprise, for the wolf then came in sight, although he was black as night. She saw him but as a friend, had no thought she should defend self against him. Soft and low was his voice. He said, "Hello." And she answered quickly, too, had been taught, "How do you do?" This wolf knew just how to be, nice as anything, you see. Knew this child was unaware of him or a grizzly bear, lynx, or panther, or a lion. He knew that without half trying, he could do just as he pleased, bring her begging on her knees. Make her plead her life to spare when in grandma's cottage there. He was dressed in grandma's bonnet with the bows and ribbons on it. After he had dined with care on her grandma, what a fare, to eat this child for dessert. for she was not yet alert of the evil ways of some who would harm a little one. He would eat her, then, and for lunch, she had brought for Grandma's brunch. So he asked her, like a rat, just where Grandma's house was at, and he told her with a laugh, "I will take another path, but I'll meet you there, you'll see. There'll be three of us for tea." Poor Red Riding Hood that day knew not of a shorter way, this the only path she'd known, for she never had been shown. But the wolf knew of the other, hurried to eat her grandmother, and when on her he had fed, he would climb into her bed, after putting on her clothes, then as grandmother he'd pose. He had Red Riding Hood's soft soap, how he chuckled as he loped. This wolf always had the knack of patting himself on the back. He trotted on, and at the door, pulled the latch string, gave a roar. "I will eat you up," he said. But there was no one in that bed. He looked all over that big room, knocked over washstand, chair, and broom. He growled and huffed and puffed with ire, then burned his nose upon the fire, for he was getting angrier, and standing straight up was his fur. His eyes were big and round and wild. "Well, anyway, I'll have that child." Beside the bed, there was a heap of clothes. He made a flying leap. He put on nightdress, glasses, cap, climbed into bed as a small rat he heard upon the door outside. He called, "Come in," then tried to hide. His body, neath the sheet and spread, all covered up except his head. Red Riding Hood came in at once. The wolf made several little grunts. She set her basket on the floor, then, like a good girl, closed the door. The wolf watched her with greedy eyes, prepared himself to tell no lies. You know what passed between the two. I'll not repeat that part for you. I stood outside there in the lane and watched them through the window pane. My heart was beating thump, thump, thump. In just a sec, that wolf would jump. I hardly dared to draw a breath, for I was nearly scared to death. What could be done? I scarcely knew. And anyway, what could I do? Just then a horse came charging by. The sun was bright up in the sky. It made the armor glitter so, I couldn't see but heard a blow. And then the door went crashing in, and soon an awful-sounding din. Such caterwauling as I heard by neither man nor beast nor bird, my ears heard not before or since. I quickly sat down on the fence. I thought my veins would pop at last, because my heart beat extra fast. But finally the noise did stop. I could have heard a plain pin drop. Then Robin Hood came out with cord, the best the fat cottage could afford. The wolf was on the other end, and to a hillock he did wend. And underneath the maple limb he dug a hole and buried him. No funeral, and no one cried, for everyone was glad he died. And why was everybody glad? Because that wolf was really bad. Then Grandmama, in easy chair, was sitting by the fireside there. Red Riding Hood the table spread, with all the good things and some bread. And then into a pretty vase, while smiles o'erspread her little face, she put the flowers she did pick, for her grandmother who was sick. And there were three of them for tea. I chuckled, glad as I could be, for all of them were safe and sound, and that wolf buried in the ground. And I eavesdropped the while they ate, and cleaned up every single plate. And grandmother began to glow, was feeling better, that I know. I listened to the tale unfold, as Robin Hood, to make clear, told that he had heard the wolf was there, and in his hands took that affair, and on this day had made his course into the wood upon his horse, to save the child, Red Riding Hood, and her grandmother, who was good. He'd had Grandma put on her dress, and hide inside that big close press, and for the wolf had set the scene, then stayed from sight, for he was keen to stop this wolf from depredation. He now explained, "I'm your relation, Red Riding Hood. I've been away, and only came back yesterday. Your father was my brother, dear. Your grandma is my mother, dear. And I'm your Uncle Robin Hood. But we first met in yonder wood." And then he kissed the little girl, and playfully twisted a curl, and told her, "There's things you must know. Your mother hasn't told you, so. I'll be Dutch uncle now to you, and tell you what you ought to do. You should not talk to strangers, dear, no matter how nice they appear. You never know what's in one's mind, and they may seem so very kind. But deep inside you'll often find they've only got an axe to grind." And then he finished quite abrupt, "That wolf wanted to eat you up." Red Riding Hood shed her first tear, for now she learned that there was fear, and seen what could have come about if Robin Hood had not helped out. And then she hugged her uncle, too, who had saved her life, and grandma's, too, and promised that she'd have a care and would be careful everywhere. "Come, niece," he said. "Too long I roam. The big black horse will take us home. Just put your arms around my neck. My family I will now protect." I melted fast into the wood. I wasn't feeling very good. How could I have such a delusion to make me reach such a conclusion? My eavesdropping was bad enough. How could I get in such a huff? "I'll take everything back," I said, "and I'll go home and go to bed, and then the future make amends and see things through a different lens." Of this sad day I've never told, but now I'm feeling rather bold and want to straighten out the facts about the woodchopper and act. That's not how it was at all. I was there, right near the wall. 'Twas Robin Hood, and with his sword, that killed that wolf. I can't afford to let this tale be told untrue. I'll tell my secret now to you. A few weeks later, introduced to Robin Hood, it gave a boost to my sad heart, for he did grin when I confessed it all to him. He said, "No matter how it's done and over with, come, let's have fun." Well, he soon started courting me, and we soon found we did agree upon most everything in life. He asked me then to be his wife. He said we'd build our little home as soon as he could get a loan. We bought that whole big tract of wood. I'm aunt now to Red Riding Hood. And my dear husband is so good, known as the former Robin Hood.